Oh, I want to see him. I'm such a fool that I believe this, what I preach. I believe it. I just believe it. I have faith to receive it. What kind of faith you have? Just faith to receive it. And trust it. To die waiting on that. I have that. I just have it. I don't want anything else but that. When he speaks to a mighty man, he'll cry bitterly. For a mighty man understand the judgment of the Father. He understands it's not some jocularity, some folly. He understands that. And it causes his heart to tremble. Because he knows it's a great day. It's one of terror. It's one of death. The separation. So where are the mighty men? Where are they? Where are they? So send a mighty man, Father. Send a mighty man. That's my prayer. Send a mighty man. Raise him up, whoever he is. I don't care who he is. Let him speak with clarity. Tremendous anointing. That the hearts of men may tremble. Fear. Fear Yahweh. They will. And they are going to. He says in verse 15, this day is a day of wrath. A day of his fierce wrath. He said a day of trouble and distress. You mean that's the day of trouble and distress? You can't think. You don't even know how to function. That's why you have trouble today. And you are distressed. You can't function within the confines of the laws of Yahweh. So you must establish laws. You reject what he says. You walk after your own pernicious, wicked ways. Thus the visitation of Yahweh. So he's not visiting many today, is he? Correct me, Father, in thy judgment. Correct me. You can't go and play some whole house gathering. Not here with me. As your old folks said, you can play church. But I don't play. Not that. We got to get it right for Yahweh. It's not by any man's hand. It's by the hand of Yahweh. Well, they set down the 12 for the Last Supper. Yet he said, the one that supped with me and kisses me, that is the one that shall betray me. He knew it. And Yahweh calls him to put his hand there at the same time as Messiah. Because he was the betrayer. Their lovers are going to forsake them. Your lovers, you hear me, please. Iniquity. When you find a lawless people that transgress, you think they love you? I want to let all you all know this. You think your natural kinsmen that are lawless, you think they love you? If they do, then Yahweh's word is a liar. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many. It's either he's a liar, or you are the truth, or he's a liar. And his word has no relevance. It's just the truth. And that's just it. Period. Well, I'll make them love me. I ask all of y'all one question. Did he not so love the world? Did he give his only begotten? You tell me this world loves him. When you got a billion plus that are Muslims. You got a billion plus that are Hindus. You've got another 2 billion that are in strange religions and all kinds of doctrines. You've got another billion that are just spiritualists and just their own gods they serve. And you have a small remnant that say, well, I believe that there's one that is true. You tell me the world loves the one they call God when there are millions of gods. Do you not understand that is why the great day of Yahweh is coming? Because they are going God searching. Do you not see in the days of the Tower of Babel that he had to come down? The language was one. And he confounded them. For he knew what they set out to do, that nothing would stop them. Don't you understand what Satan has set out to do in your mind and your spirit? He talks to you in a natural language and he feeds you natural kind of things that he can accomplish what he intends to do in you because he knows that you all talk the same language. So does the Father. You must talk in a spiritual tongue. I believe tongues and all those things are going to cease. But they haven't ceased. And I believe that there should be tongues and prophecy. You spend more time in things that are such foolishness. No gifts. And I say in this gathering, none that are manifested. What a shame. What a wickedness. Oh, the people. What a shame. You have no faith to even pray and lay hands on anyone. You have none. You have none. None. Judgment will be down here. He's trying to make your calling, your election sure. I want to be elected as Yaakov. I don't want to be like an election of Esau. And that's the truth. That is the truth. He says that there's a day of wrath and a day of trouble and distress. A day of wasteness and desolation. A day of darkness and gloominess. A day of clouds and thick darkness. A day of the trumpet and the alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. America, she's fenced about. With the satellites, nuclear armaments. You're fenced about as well. You have your pride. You have your ethnicity. You have your know-it-all. You have your intellect, and you think you're fenced city. Nobody's going to tell me. And you set in your high tower, your spirit of pride. You walk in your exalted, self-exuded manner, and your self-exuded fashion. He said, that's all right, you fenced cities. You're coming down. I'm going to tear your walls down. He's going to tear the walls down. Everything you take pride in, he's going to tear it down. Everything. I would not want that spirit at all, the spirit of pride. I'm a man of dignity. I know who I am. And I know what I am. I'm not a man of pride. I'm a man of dignity. And I know who I am and what I am and my purpose. I only have one purpose. That is to do what he's commanded me to do and to finish it. Nothing else. Not a purpose to become wealthy. I'm rich already. I'm wealthy. I have his love above all things. I have this assurance and the hope that he's put in my soul. I'm rich. As Carpal said, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have. In that mighty name of Yahweh, rise and be healed. So I tell you to rise and begin to allow him to heal your soul and to mend your souls. I give you that. There's nothing else I can give you. He said, the first cities are going to fall, the high walls, they're haughty and their looks. The scripture talks about their lofty looks. You better begin to watch your looks, all right? A lofty look is one that walks lofty. No, I walk. But I don't have a lofty look. He said, their lofty look, their high places and their fenced cities. Your fenced cities are coming down. I'm glad he said it like that. They're fenced cities. Look at what they're doing with this nuclear or with the terrorist acts. They're making sure that all the cities, even the little small cities, that they have the capability of thwarting that in some kind of way. But I say, my friends, the kingdoms of this world are coming down. They'll become the kingdoms of every beast, vile thing there is. And that's why we act like beasts at times. No, look at your own heart. You act beastly with your neighbor when he tells you to love him. You act beastly with your husband when he tells you to submit and obey in all things. You act beastly with your wife when he tells you to love her like Messiah. Love the tabernacle or the body.
You see the beasts of the field, they will butt, the nanny will butt the ewe, the heifer will butt the calf, the bull will butt the heifer. It's a beast of the spirit. And that is what has taken place in this nation. But I'm not the nation of his people. I'm not concerned about this wicked world. They're going to hell. I'm talking about your wickedness. Your lovers are going to forsake you. The ones you think love you, they're going to forsake you. I want to tell you all, my friends, I say to all you all, you're a flat liar, sister. Hear me, all of you. You're a flat liar, brother, sister. You can't obey your husband. And you tell me you love someone else, you're a flat out liar. You're a liar, pervert. And brother, you're as much of a pervert as she is. When you can't do what scripture tells you concerning her, you are a pervert. The scripture tells your wife to obey your husband in everything. If he tells you something to do, you don't do it. That's the truth. I'm not trying to make friends. What a friend I have in Messiah. Oh, my sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to Yahweh in prayer. So it makes no difference. And whatsoever. I'm going to get a reward one day. That's all I'm looking for. I'm not looking for your accolades. I don't want your thanks. You don't have to bless me, Pastor Roberts. I don't need that. Honestly, I don't need that. I want one word that when he sees me, he say, well done, my faithful servant. And by the way, my son, enter thou into the kingdom, for ye shall dwell with me. That's all I want. I don't care if you don't like me. It doesn't make any difference. You think I'm mean? That makes no difference at all. I'll tell you what, all of the things that you think I am, check your heart out. You're worse than that. You're worse. As the old southern sister would say, you're worse. She didn't know how to say it another way. You're worse. You're worse than that. You're just worse. Hear what the word of Yahweh says. In time that we begin to hear what he says and obey. I want to show you something. I want to look down at verse 17. He said, I will bring distress upon men that they shall walk like blind men. Why? Because they sinned against Yahweh. And their blood shall be poured out as dust. And the flesh as cow dung. He wants to tell you something. He said, neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of Yahweh's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of my jealousy. For he shall make a speedy riddance of them all that dwell in the land. Your gold and your silver won't deliver you. And yet that's the consumption. The man is consumed with that today. Having. Getting. Possessing. Wanting. Yet it shall not deliver their souls. There's only one deliverance. It comes by his truth. You will know his truth. And only that shall make you free. We have pretended with ourselves so long that our minds have become so seared. You don't even see how vile you are. And how corrupt you are. That's the truth. I tell all you wives, when you submit to your husbands and do it righteously, it begins to produce that kind of love that Yahweh. If we submit to him, does he not love us? He talks about a rebellious son in Proverbs. The void of wisdom. It's one thing that a wife should never want to do, bring her husband to shame. Bless you always for that. Say what you want to. My wife has never brought me to shame in any way. Why? Because her delight is just being with me. I don't care if you always send me to Bombay, India, just to be with me. That's enough. That should satisfy any wife. What? To know that her head is walking and being led and governed by his head? What else can she ask for? Tell me. Tell me. If he sends it to a strange land, wherever you go, I'll follow. All right. Will you follow the Father anywhere He tells you to go? Don't answer that. Just show you. You see, you won't even follow Him. But He is the head of Messiah. The Messiah said, I'm the head of man. That's what He's done. Whether you reject that, whether you receive it or not, He's the head of man. And man is the head of woman. Not just wife, but woman. Man is the head. So don't tell me you're going to follow Him when you can't follow the head. You can't do it. And you will not do it. You do just like this Jezebel whole house. Telling him what you're going to do. But I'm here to tell you, it's not going to work. Your gold is not going to deliver you. Nor your silver or your riches. We are a generation of a nation that really doesn't deal with reality and truths. We don't like that. We deal with superfluity. Things that are false and not real. We deal in a subreal world. It's not a world of reality. And that is the truth of Scripture. Everything else has no value. Nothing else has any value at all. Only what Scripture says. That's the only thing that is viable. That's why we must buy truth. And shall it not? A nation that buys lies. False stimulations. No, I don't want that. I want His truth to stimulate me. And the reality of His truth. To stimulate me. I was thinking, I said, you know, we're just like the children. I think about little Whitney. She says, no, I know how she said it. She can do 20 laps. She did 20 laps in 15 minutes. So I said, all right, do a lap. She left out of here with all of her might running. It took her 1 minute, 27 seconds to do one lap. I said, you did what? Now, the issue is not the lap. I don't care about that. It's to show you what things are ingrained in us that we are not willing to deal with truth and reality. And she is still persistent. I was lighter. Not the truth, little girl. In order for her to do that, she will have to run this place 43 seconds every lap. And she went around here. The reason she said, can I run? I said, sure. I wanted her to do that to show her at that pace she couldn't do it. And the reality still hasn't set in her mind that she can't do it. And she didn't do it. That's the way we are. You are just like that. That's the way you are. You deal in a surreal world. It's not reality. And she can't do it. Nor can I. Or you. I said to her, you have to be a marathon runner to even equate that. She can't do it. And we don't want to deal with the truths of who we are and what we are. We don't deal with that. We want some false dark thing to give us some sense of accomplishment. There's only one accomplishment that I want to overcome, and that is to see Him. I want to accomplish that. That. And she is so arrogant with that she is persistent. I looked at her, I said, what a sad shame. Need deliverance. Sure. I said, what a wickedness in this little girl. I just looked at her and I said, what a wickedness. What a wickedness. It's there and they don't even realize it. As David said, and sin, my mother conceived me. And in iniquity was I shapen. She shaped me by iniquity. My mind's a shaper that way. Our minds are lawless. Think about what you thought about yesterday. Think about some of the things you. No, not your neighbor. You got enough trouble with you. You enough trouble. Think about what you thought about within the last 5 days. I bring it on down this morning. I know what I thought about. I'll confess it. Even this day. I began to weep. And I just began to cry because it was something that troubled my heart so. And I said to my wife, I could literally take my hand and kill it. And she began to tell me that someone had discussed, I don't even want to hear what they discussed with her. But I said, all this week that's been on my mind. And I began to say, Father, help me. Help me. Help me, Father. She said that. You're so full of hypocrisy. It's sin. You can't even see yourself. All the judgment by the law of Yahweh is a righteous judgment. What I thought. But it was a righteous judgment. Because my heart was so heavy. We don't want to deal with the reality of things. And the truth. No, she can't do. I don't care if she was 20 pounds lighter. 20 laps in 15 minutes. No, I did not purport it to be that. That's what she said. She can't do it. That's the way you are. No, I can do all things through Messiah. You know what things? Things that pertain unto the law. The commandments, the righteousness of Yahweh. He doesn't intend you to go out here and do all things and buy a $10,000-$20,000 car through him. He intends for you to do all things concerning the truth and the law through Messiah. And the reason he strengthened you because he gives us hope in that and shows that there's a hope to do what he says. We have construed the scriptures, we have twisted them so that they don't even satisfy the heart anymore. And that's the truth. And that is the truth. They don't even satisfy the heart anymore. Look at what scripture says in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. I want to read the first 6 verses. This is what they call the Song of Moses. It says this, Deuteronomy chapter 32. I want to read the first 6 verses. First 6. It says, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. Now we can learn to do that, just give our hearts to hear him. We don't give ear unto the Father. One of the most profound things that the Malak of a revelation experienced with Yohanan, he said, all those that have ear, let them hear what the Spirit. Now we must have ear, that's what we can hear. That's why he can't speak to us. He said, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine or my truth shall drop as the rain, and my speech shall distill or fall as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the shower upon the grass. For what reason? Listen. He says, because I will publish the name of Yahweh. It says the name of the Lord, but it's the name of Yahweh. What name of this one you want to publish? He said, ascribe ye greatness unto Yahweh. Why? He is the rock. Now he is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. Now that's going in all of his ways. Every way that he takes you is a way of judgment. I don't care what way he takes you, it's a way of judgment. He judges you, your heart, your mind, your intentions, your desire. Do you do things whereby you never judge, you don't have no sense of judgment? Come on, saints. You do things, you say things, you don't have no sense of condemnation, no judgment, because you know that is not his way. When you walk his way, then it's a way of judgment. I don't care whether you're talking or walking. It's a way of judgment. I don't care if you're eating or sleeping. It's a way of judgment. All of his ways are the ways of judgment. Are the ways of judgment. He said he is a Yahweh of truth. And without iniquity, just and right is he. So there's no lawlessness in him. And if he is in you, as we quote the scripture, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, then you ought not to walk lawless. And if you're walking lawless because he's not in you. He says, what in those first 4 words? Read that in verse 5. Say that again, everyone. I want all y'all to read that, please. Everyone read that. Now who corrupted you? And yet we want to think that someone else corrupts us. Someone else makes you do things that are not right. You've corrupted yourself. You've corrupted your wicked. Nobody corrupted you. You see, they've corrupted themselves. You corrupted yourself. Oh, you made me do it. No, my friend, you corrupted your own self. He said, they have corrupted themselves.
themselves. Is that not what it says? He said they are spot. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a what? And what? They are a perverse and crooked generation. A perverse, a wicked, lawless, a generation without constitution, without any laws to preserve them. Do you understand what laws do they preserve? That's what a law does. It preserves. That is what the law of gravity preserves. The law of sight preserves. The law of health. There's no way that an old man like this, an elder like this, can begin to eat sugar 5 pounds a day and think he's going to preserve him. He's not going to do it. It's going to kill him quicker than a roach is stamped out in your house. It's going to kill him. And everything that Yahweh speaks, every way of judgment, it preserves you. Every judgment. And we detest that, don't we? Come on and say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You detest any kind of judgment. Because it shows you your character or what you're really made of. Well, you're nothing but stinky, foul, trashy, black, white, Mexican, Jewish, flesh. That's all you are. You're just like the grass. It's not worth anything at all. All flesh is as the grass of that field out there. So you're not worth anything. The value is what's in a man. It's what's in you. The what's in you. Father, if I don't speak the truth to this house, send a man that will. I will sit down, Yahweh, you know that. Send one that will speak truth to us and tell us the truth. And tell us the truth. You don't continue the word of Yahweh enough in the day to know the truth. You don't spend enough time. When you continue something, you persistently go that way. You walk that way. That's one thing about a marathon runner. They don't run 1 mile at 8 minutes and the next mile at 5:20. A marathon runner will run every mile consistently the same. He sets out at 5:26. If anything, he's going to break 5:26. He's not going over 5:26. Every mile is consistently the same. It is. Every mile is consistently the same. And when one continues, they continue that the whole route. 26.6 miles. They continue that. And so it is in this world, we continue that same pace all the time. Oh, you don't get up one day all happy, the next day you're like a dog. You don't get up one day all friendly, the next day you're a beast. You don't get up the next day all friendly, the next day you're like a swine. Hallelujah. Bring it on home, Father. You don't get up one day all pious and humble, and the next day you're an arrogant, boastful thing. He is the same. So if he's in you, then he's the same every day. I want to drop down quickly to verse 28. He says in verse 28 of the same chapter, "For they are a nation, and we're that nation, void of counsel, we have no sense at all, neither is there understanding in them." This is what the Father says. A people that has no counsel at all, and they have no understanding, there's no spiritual discernment. They can't see beyond the flesh, they can't see what the enemy is doing. He says, "Oh, that they were wise. Oh, that we were wise, that they understood this, that they will consider their latter end." You don't even do that. If you are a wise man, hear the word of Yahweh. If you are wise, you will consider the latter end. He said, if you are wise, you will consider your latter end. You can look at everyone next to you. Look at that. Come on, look at your neighbor, everyone. Come on, look at someone. Come on. That one is going to die. And they can look at you and you're going to die. You better consider your end.
See, that's why you're void of understanding and knowledge. You have no wisdom because you don't consider the latter in.
I know.
You know, I wanted to preach on that today. Death. I don't know why the Father gave me this, but He gave it to me. He put it in my heart. And I believe it came from Him. He said they don't consider that latter end. That's why they want no counsel. That's why they say don't tell me anything, because they don't believe that they are going to die. There is a latter end to all of us. And they don't believe they're going to die. So they say, I don't want to hear that, what He says. See, if you're wise, now consider this. Consider you. If you're wise, you consider your latter end. A wise one would say, I know this is going to finish. Is there something about close to the end of the day, Brother Neesmith? Then all of a sudden there's a different spirit that kind of overtake you. You can count them in. 5, 3, 1, 2, boom. Time to clock out. And then when you get out of there, it's almost like you're revived. Huh? Sure. Because you consider the latter end of that day. And that's it. It brings about, I know it did that to me. It's a revival. You get a little more pep and a little more energy that you didn't have there. And so we consider this latter end. It gives us a little more energy, a little more pep, because we know that there's a great reward. We understand that. Help me to do that, Father. Above all things, it's not that we cannot. We just don't want to do it. You have no love for Him. And I'm flat out honest with us. This house today. He said, now I want to ask you one question now. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight? Now, how can that even happen now? Except their rock has sold them. That's the only way. And Yahweh has shut them up. For their rock is not our rock. Even our enemies themselves even judge them. They even know that they have no strength. Even your enemy knows you have no strength, because you don't do the things of strength. Even your enemies, who are the enemies? Those that despise the laws of Yahweh. They even know you have no strength, because they draw you into their world, into their clamor, their folly. And you began to operate just like them. They say, he has no strength. There's nothing there. No different than me. And there must be a difference between my people and thy people, the people of the world and the people of Yahweh. There must be a difference. I don't care what you say. It has to be. I don't care if your son or daughter is not saving. It has to be different between you and them. I don't care if your husband is not saving your wife. It must be a different. I don't care if your cousin is unsaved. It must be a different. You can't be the same. Your conversation cannot be the same. If it's the same, you are not right. Your spirit is not right. Your force is not right. And they will know that your rock is not the rock that you say that you have. The rock. Look what he says in verse 32. He says, for the vine is the vine of Shotham. The strength, listen, says, you hear this? The strength is of those things that are birth and bred in Sodom. Worldly, sensual, wicked things. He said, and of the fields of Gomorrah. That's what they grow in their minds. Earthly, sensual, wicked things. Lustful things. Don't you understand when those Malachs went into Sodom and Gomorrah to pull out Lot of his family? Those men desired them. And that's what that lust does. It causes you to desire everything. But to please the father. To please your husband. To please your wife. Hallelujah. He said they're grapes. Or the sweet fruits they pretend they have are grapes of gall. Bitterness. There's no gall, no guile found in Messiah's mouth. And their clusters are bitter. Their vine is the poison of dragons. What a statement. What they draw upon, what they draw strength from is the poison of dragons. And cruel venom of asp. A poison asp. He said, is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? Is not that one of your treasures, your bitter grapes and your asp spirit? To me belongeth vengeance, Yahweh says, and recompense their foot shall slide in due time. Is that what he says? Their foot shall slide in due time. He said, for the day of their what? Calamity is at hand. And the things that come upon them make what? It make haste. For Yahweh shall judge who? Does it say his people? His people, and he will not even repent. And he will judge his people and have compassion himself for his servants. Not only his servants. When he see their power is gone and there is none shut up or left. And he shall say, where are their gods, their rock in whom they did trust? What are you trusting again? He says, where are their deliverers, their hope, their gods in whom they trusted? They trusted in everything. They trusted in homes, cars, the old minds, and not the mind of Messiah. We must let that mind that he had, it must be in us. That's just it. You can't let your natural mind or your carnal mind, you can't let that rule. It is a destructive mind. You can't let a mind of emotion rule or a mind of feelings. That is a destructive mind. It must be his mind. And that mind was to please the Father in all things, my friends. Not in something, but in all things. His heart was set to please him. There are not many that love him today. I'm telling you. I'm saying emphatically, with all honesty and truth. You can't hardly find it. I sit often and I think, as I look in scripture, as I see things, and I think, and I ponder, and I meditate. Well, you want calamity to fall upon someone? No, I believe what scripture says. You that desire calamity upon someone, the scripture says you should not go unpunished. You will not go unpunished. I hope that besieges them, well then you won't go unpunished. That's not what scripture says. I understand scripture somewhat. Do I understand all? No. I understand him that knows all. And I know that he is in me. And if he is in me, then there's a greater power and an understanding to realize what is in scripture. How do you do that? By obeying what he says. To study. To study. To show yourself approved. You show yourself approved unto one another by your gossiping and your lies. And that's this generation. I use that because Yahweh in this, he dealt with his people. You say you're the people of Yahweh, then you search your own hearts and see if those things are there. He pointed out every vile sin that they did. They were perverse. They rejected counsel. They didn't want any knowledge. And that's the way we are. You will understand where there's a mighty anointing in you. When he speaks something to you, you will cry out. That's why there's very little hallelujah, thank you, Father. That's why there's very little response to the word of Yahweh today. That's a mighty anointing. That's why men don't respond. You will respond greater with something that will give the flesh some sense of gratitude or satisfaction than that which cuts it and exposes it and shows the filthiness of it. I want to be saved. I don't know about you, but I want to be saved. I want to be saved. But I believe that he sent forth this word today for me. He knows every man's heart. He knows my desire. So he sends this to me. I won't fight against you, Father. I won't do that. Even if I don't understand, I won't fight against it. I'll just lay it right there and say, Father, help me to understand. If any man lacketh wisdom, let him ask. What are Evangelist Horn's favorite scriptures? He gives to every man that asks. And he doesn't upbraid the man when he asks for that. We like that. Because wisdom produced the fear of Yahweh in a man's heart. And our souls. And that's not any fear. We don't fear his name. We don't fear him. What God is this world fearing? They fear their loan payment. Their house payment. They fear those things today, saints. They fear losing their house. They fear losing their credit. They fear those things. They fear the electricity being turned off. I was thinking yesterday, I say, my, Yahweh, what a shame. I say, folks, as I was thinking, talking to the Father, I said, don't you know that folks will fear having their satellite dish disconnected and their cable. They fear that more than they fear Yahweh. They don't want to lose that. I don't know what caused me to think like that yesterday, but I was just thinking, I said, Yahweh, what a shame. They fear losing things like that, and yet they don't fear losing their souls. I said, what's wrong, Father? Help me. I don't understand that. What if you're wrong in this way? No, he's not wrong in his ways. Why? How, you know how I know this way is not wrong? Can I tell you? Will you believe me? Will you honestly believe me if I tell you, Sister Dean? Because I know it's the way of judgment. That's why I know it's not wrong. All the other ways never lead you to judgment. All of his ways are the ways of judgment. And when there's a constant judgment, you know you're walking in his way. When there is no judgment, you're not walking in his way. When he doesn't show you your sins, tell you what things you got to do, you're not walking in his way. You're not. All of his ways are the ways of judgment. I know it's right. I know it. Because they constantly judge me. I read, I study, constantly judge me. Everything I read judges me. Everything, it reverts back to me. Everything I read. That's why I know I'm right. If you don't get nothing out of this message today, remember that. It's just a way of judgment. All of his ways are the ways of judgment. And anytime you're judging, being judged, you know you're walking right. Anytime you don't have no judgment, no sense of fear of judgment, you know you're wrong. You're wrong. Bless you, Father. I love you. I love you. I don't know how to express it, but I like to say it like that. I love you, Yahweh. And I lift my voice to you and to worship you, Yahweh. My soul delights. I say thank you, Father, for all you have done. I want your name to be a sweet, sweet thing down in my soul. I don't know how to say it any other way, but just tell him I love him. How do you prove it? Keeping his commandments. That's how. Hallelujah. I want to read this in Proverbs. It's going to come upon this nation. I say to you all that reject this, woe unto you. Listen to this, Proverbs 1. When we began reading in verse 23. He always says unto his house, turn you at my reproof. He's telling you today to turn. Turn. Change your heart. No, he did not say, I will turn you. He said, when I reprove you, turn. Turn. Do you understand what turn is? Can I show you? Look at me. If I turn to the right, I turn this way. Turn right again. Turn right again. Turn right again. So he said, turn. When I reprove you, when I openly expose you, we hate that. We detest that. We don't want that. You know, I said to Jaquetta one day, I said, you know, I'll say it. I said, you have a bad attitude. It's not that I don't love her. I said, attitude is bad, little girl. She said, I know Pastor Robert. Now, I will show you how her strength and her help will come. I said, you don't, you think I'm mean? She said, yes. I thought I'd ask you one question. Did you think your daddy was mean? She said, yeah, at times I thought it was mean. I said, so, you thought that about him. Now, her strength was this. She wrote me a letter. She said, Pastor Roberts, I want to do right. And I want Yahweh to help me. Now see, that's deliverance. But one can acknowledge that I got a problem. We don't do that. And because she did that, I said, nah, she'll be alright then. Yahweh, we got to help her. Not an arrogant beast saying, no, I'm not that way. Now that was right. And then she can begin to see old Pastor Ross in a different light. He's not vain. He just reproved. And tell her sins. Why? Because I want to keep her chaste, pure, virtuous, right. You may enjoy the husband of your youth. That is what daughter. That's Pastor Roberts. See, this is a generation don't say. It doesn't say, well, I'm not that way. Well, what did I do wrong? She showed me what I've done wrong. Now she just said, I need help. And she said this to me. She said this, as I shared with Elder Barton this morning. She said, it's just my flesh. I don't like it because my flesh doesn't like it. And that's the way you are. You don't want nobody to touch you on the whole house. That's what your flesh is. It's bombarded with spirits of whoredom. It will lay with anything, speak anything, say anything, befriend anything. So he says, I want you to turn, first of all, and my reproof. He said, now when you turn, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Now when you turn, he will pour out his spirit, first of all, and then he will make known his words to you, saints. That hasn't changed. If he said it to them, that he is not a truthful being. If it doesn't mean anything to me today. His word is a very present help. And this is a present help here. He says, now I want to tell you something, because I have called you and ye refuse. You refuse him. You reject the Father. You reject his laws. You refuse him. He says, I've stretched out my hand and you don't even regard it. You're not even sensitive enough to say, this is the Father. He said, but you have set at naught all of my counsel. You say, what I say is nothing. He said that they're void of counsel and understanding. You said it not all of my counsel, and you would not even receive any reproof. Do you find yourself in that one? You don't want to receive any reproof. Do you find yourself there? You don't want any reproof. You know, Elder Barton said to me, as I said that, he said, that's our problem. All of us. He said, we don't want the flesh to be cut and destroyed. It has to be destroyed if you're going to make it into the kingdom. He said, I also will laugh at your calamity. When your mind is perplexed, you can't think. He said, I'm going to laugh. That's the Father. He said, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock you when your fear cometh. To make fun? Is this your way? He said, your calamity is going to come and I'm going to mock you. He said, when your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. Look at this. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, not just distress, but anguish. You can't even focus when you get anguish. You don't even know how to move. He said, when distress and anguish come upon you, look what he says. Then shall they call upon me, but I will answer them. He said, I won't answer them. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why? For that they hated knowledge, and they did not choose the fear of your way. He said, I'm going to mock them. I'm going to laugh at them. When their fear cometh, that desolation, that's a whirlwind. For they will not receive my truth. For they rejected all my reproof. We are a house that rejects reproof, any kind of correction. We swell up in our pride. Children don't want it. Wives don't want it. Husbands don't want it. No one wants it at all. We don't want that. We don't want our ways to be corrected. We don't want anyone to instruct us in anything. I said to the saints the other day, you can understand why the world is able. There are men on Brother Neesmith's job that they have superiors. And yet they talk to them in ways and they humble themselves and they suffer that thing, don't they? And yet this wicked thing, this whorehouse that we call saints, the true saints are not that way. Yet people in the world, they will receive that chastisement. Yet the people of Yahweh will receive nothing. I watched people when I worked at IBM. I never forget old George Clay, that he had a manager. And I know over him, George was the second line, his manager was the third line. I would watch him the way he would treat him, and George would humble himself like a little kitten. He didn't fight him. He corrected George. He received it. He would do it openly before many people. I can't recall his name. He was an English professor. He came to IBM. And yet old George would humble himself. I watched George as he would humble himself like a little cuddly puppy. He wouldn't fight him. He wouldn't reject what he said. Well, it gave him a greater strength. It gave him more maneuverability. And that's why we can't maneuver. That's why we can't even love. They consider each other. That's why there's no closeness and no oneness. And that is not the way of Yahweh. And so what he's doing is bringing you to a way that he's going to show you. In order for you to walk in this way, you're going to be judged. And if you don't walk in this way, you're going to be full of distress. And that's the truth. We got to be able to exemplify what the law says. In the spirit of Yahweh. No, everyone is not a leader, saints, but everyone is a leader. Yeah, we lead by our example so others can see the way that we walk is the way that Yahweh intends for us to walk. We don't have that many older men here, Dick and Betty, on the bottom. We're the older core here. And I don't believe he's going to tarry. You wise walk in a way that you don't bring them to shame. Jonathan. They're names that men, when they see you, they can say, what a tremendous thing he has. That's right. Reject his counsel, his truth, his righteousness. He's going to reject us. That's just it. When this distress comes upon you, you're going to cry. You're going to seek him. And he will not be found. And that's the truth. I warn you all. We don't even see our ways. We can't see them. That's how pitiful we are. That's how we are. That's the way we are. Why? Because we are void of counsel and understanding. We are void of that. We don't want it in Yahweh's reproof. We don't want him to correct us. And because there's no correction there, we reject. We cannot hear what he says. Can I tell you something, saints? Everything a parent says to a child is correction. Even in love is correction. I don't care what she says, what he says, it's always everything alludes to correction. Tell me, you that a mother, Sister Horn, you raised all these youngins. Everything you said to those boys was for correction. Everything. I don't care what you said. Judgment was there. Go to the store. Now you go to the store, like I said, and get back. It shouldn't take you that long. Everything a parent says, think about it, parent. Everything you do toward raising your children is correction. Everything. Everything. I don't care what it is, what you say. It's correction. Everything you said to those daughters, Mother Miller, and your sons. Everything. There was an element of correction there. I don't care if we went to the store to do the laundry, wash the dishes. Everything dealt with correction. Everything. Everything. Raven, go start that fire. I mean what I said, start the fire. Don't play around. Correction. Everything. And everything the Father speaks to us, it is a reproof. Everything. Because it takes the dimension that the flesh think it has, the glory at the root in something, and to know that it is him that worketh all things. And that's why you can honor it and worship him, because you know it's not the flesh. Everything he does, everything he speaks to us corrects us. He doesn't, every word he speaks to us corrects us to walk in the way, saints. Everything. That's what the Father wants. That's the truth. Nothing less. Nothing less. Everything. Everything he says corrects us. Everything. That's why we despise, because we're fleshly. Those that are led by the Spirit, only those are the sons of Yahweh. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He speaks spirit and life unto us. In other words, he doesn't speak in a carnal way. These words are written, but they're not carnal words. None whatsoever. So everything he does, everything, it is to refine us. It's one thing about a superb athlete. They never stop training. Always. Constantly. To get to the zenith and the peak of their performance, they must always train. Do they put their bodies through hardship? You think they feel like getting up every morning to run? You think a man feels like getting up and lifting 50 pounds every day? You think he feels like doing that? And everything he does, he watches himself. The way he eats, all the superb athletes do. What he puts in his body. The meals. The amount of calories and the carbohydrates. The proteins. He watches everything. Now we don't do that. We don't watch how much gossip, lies, and trickery, and frivolity. We don't watch what we put in our spirit. And we need to do that. Why? Because everything we put in us, it goes to our hearts. It goes there. It goes to our heart. And the issues of life, they flow from the heart. And so when you got issues, they begin to flow from your mind. When you got a problem, they begin to flow from your heart. We need to put His laws there in our mind. And our heart says, that's what we need. And we don't transgress His law for nothing. No one, nobody. We just obey His law. I don't care what man says, what anyone. We just obey His law. That's what He wants. Will He have a people that will do that? And because we don't do that, then distress and perplexity is going to befall us. And that's why we're distressed. We're perplexed. We don't know what to do. We don't know if we're coming or going. I know I'm going. I know I'm going. I've already come. I'm going. I'm on the downslide curve now. I'm going. Can I say to you, my friend, you're on the downslide too. I'm going. I know I'm going. As the song says, I'm going up yonder. No, I'm going into the kingdom. Ain't no yonder ways I'm going. I'm going to the kingdom. I'm going to see Him. And so His way is the way of reproof and judgment. But it brings us into that perfect place whereby we can hear Him. And we need to hear Him. You don't need to hear yourself or your flesh. You need to hear Him. When we began to hear Him, we will not find ourselves walking in such distress. We will be joyful in any situation. I was reading an article about a prisoner that was in Guantanamo Bay. He was not even a part of the Al-Qaeda or Osama bin Laden cell. He was just in Afghanistan. He was a British citizen. They had nothing to connect him with that. And all of a sudden, he was arrested. And they took him to Guantanamo Bay. And he said, the only thing that kept me or my sanity, he said that I will not allow them to get or to control me, control my mind. He said, the thing I didn't do at all, I didn't think about home. He said, because if I did that, then I knew it would have destroyed me. I didn't think about home. Well, I'm going on home, all right? This is not my home. So they put me in a position like that, I'm thinking about the home away, all right? This is not my home here. There's a place for me that I'm going. I'm going to see my Father and Him. I will stand before His face. To receive all the rewards that have been done in this body. And that's what I will do. May Yahweh bless you. You young ones that are preparing yourselves to be wives. You prepare yourself to be a wife. I pray Yahweh help you all. I pray you elderly sisters help them. And teach them. What a sad shame. That you don't even want to teach the young ones how to be wives. How to take care of their children. It's sad. It's sad. Scripture tells you to do that. Don't you understand, you young sisters? Some, Yahweh moved me out the way, deacon and these brothers, that you all will have to help the sisters. Teach them. You don't learn anything unless you're taught. How many of y'all learn your ABCs by yourself? Not a one of you, did you? Someone taught you. I see, that's why the world is so excellent in their ways. Because they're willing to be taught, to be reproved, to be rebuked. This is a wicked, we're void of counsel. Any kind of counsel. And that's why the world can excel. Because they're able to realize their mistakes, their faults, and they take advantage of that. I've watched what they call superb athletes, but because they cannot take instructions, they never pan out. There was this runner, he was one of the best runners in the United States. But because he was arrogant and haughty, no one could tell him. He had gone through so many coaches. And now he gets to the latter part of his life, and he said, I can see all my mistakes. I didn't listen. I should have listened. Now you're too old now. You're not going to go out there and compete with those young ones. But he could have been the most superb runner. He could have been a wealthy man in that degree. But because he could not hear what the coaches tell him what to work on. Well, I know what to work on. They said, no, you're not going to run a good 440 like that. Just working on that. These are the things you need to work on. You understand a coach has spent many years grooming and training up athletes to run that. And all of a sudden he is just running because he's pretty fast. He's going to tell the coach. You need the coach to refine. You know everything is calculated. The way you come out of the block. Your stride. The way you hold your hand. For wind resistance. You're doing all of that. And that coach knows. And the boy, he will show a streak of brilliancy and then he will fall and fall to where he fell off the map. And all of a sudden he got old. He said, man, I realized it had to be a lot with my childbearing. I never had a daddy. My mother wasn't at home. So I just did things the way I wanted to, and I made a mistake. He said, I made a mistake all these years. If I could go back and change things, would I? Yes, I would. I would have heard what the coach said, and I could have been a superb star. But because I didn't do that, now I'm trying to catch up. And now these other athletes that are young, they're far ahead of him now. And that's the way it is in the spiritual, because we cannot receive any instructions. Because no one can tell you anything. Because you don't want no one to instruct you. That's wrong. Reproof of instruction. That's the way of life. You need that. You need that. And that's the way it should be. It's going to be that way. May you always give us strength and peace. Because our hearts to delight in His truth. I bless Him. And I thank Him today. I do. At times I wonder, what do I say or how do I say it? I try to figure out a way to convey it, but I can't do that. I do have scriptures, but I don't know what I'm going to say. I'll just get some scriptures and I'll just say, that's it. You put that here, now you speak. And Yahweh will do one thing. You will know that in Him, He will always talk to His people. What father will not talk to his sons and daughters? But Lee Smith, you're in that house, you talk to Raven and Randy too. And little Micah too. I could tell that in his house when I went there. First time ever going in there. When I sat there, I said, my, this, I just like the spirit of this place. Randy there, I looked back there in his room. You being nosy, preacher? Yeah, I was a little nosy. I marvel, really. I really did. And where you going back? Me, I never get back in there unless my little boy is sick. But I just marvel at, you know, that night. I was very impressed. I really was. Man, this is a good spirit. I like this. Didn't even come to prayer that night because I sat down with him. I said, well, this is, I like this. I really did. I really, really, really did. I like that. The whole spirit that conveyed to that whole house. Did you have to deal with Sister Marshall and crack a head at times? Hallelujah. Lift your hands and say, bless you, Pastor Robert. Bless you too, daughter. He had to do that. She's had to scratch his head for him too. I've been married long enough to know, son. Hallelujah. But it was good to help him meet and help her meet that they can walk in oneness. I don't sense, brother, I'm not saying that. I don't sense a divided house spirit in that house. I really don't. I know, brother, I sense a tremendous spirit. That's right. I said, I do, sister. Are you doing that because of her? No, I'm just telling you the truth. Why is it that, as the old folks would say, we don't want to give flowers to no one? I don't want to stretch your brother knee out up here, Sister Marshall, and say that. And I'm telling now. What's wrong with that? So what would that cause me to do with them? Come on, that spirit judge me. So make me, man. Let me check myself out. I want to do right. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with having brothers and sisters like that to help me? I wouldn't want Brother Nisha and Sister Marshall to raise hell. I go in and say, oh man, that's not helping me. I go in there like that, it helps me. Helps me to do right by my wife. Sure. Good spirit like that. I say, man, this is nice. What's wrong with that? We're pitiful. We don't want to give honor to where honor is due. I give you honor, brother. Bless you. Nobody else bless you. What's wrong with that? I give honor. Bless you. Hallelujah. Give honor to where honor is due. May Yahweh bless you. And give us rest today and peace and strength. I pray the word bless your heart today. Lord, we give you strength to help you to realize who we serve. As an elderly brother called me last night for Fort Mills. His name is, he called himself Reverend Callahan. I can tell he's a Baptist preacher, something like that. But this is the message he left me. He says, Pastor Roberts, this is Reverend Callahan. He says, keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a mighty work. And I know it's a mighty work of God. And that's the way he said it. I have no problem with that. I understand the brother. I understand what he was saying to him. He's doing what you're doing. And it is the work of God. That's what he said now. And he's Reverend Callahan. I know what he preached to, all right? Matter of fact, I'm going to write you, well, come visit us, brother. Come and see what you're always doing here. Right down here in South Carolina. So he always has his people, saints. He has. He said, told them to go out and compel those to come and labor down to the last hour. They were his people. And he called them. And the ones that had gone first, he said, look, You gonna give us a penny like you did them? We labor more than them. He said, did not we agree with that? Come on, what difference does it make? If you get the kingdom, if I get the Lord, I don't have no problem with that. I don't have no whatsoever. For anything that you do in the body, it strengthens me. Anything the work in the body is done is a strength to us all. Everything should be done that way. Can I tell you the greatest one amongst us? You want to be great? Can I tell you how to be great? Will you believe me? Just serve one another. You want to be great amongst us? Just be a servant. Serve your brothers and sisters. That's the greatest attitude you can have. Serve. Serve. I read experience about those young college students going and helping Mother Teresa when she worked in Calcutta. And how their lives were revolutionary change. I mean, million girls from millionaire homes and everything. That their whole attitude in life would drastically change. Just by even the labor to see this old woman with this compassion amongst the most rejected people in the land. And yet their whole lives would change and transform. Their whole attitudes about life would change. So when we really touch Him, our whole attitudes and our lives would be changed. You really haven't touched Him. When you get a true touch from Him, you will change. He changes. Sure He does. And that doesn't mean stopping you from smoking cigarettes and watching television. Either. He changed. He does something inside. He just doesn't do no outside thing. Because, honey, you can go out there and fix yourself up. I can go put on me $1,000 suit, and I guarantee you, you can tell me that I wasn't right with that. If I get a tailor-made suit, $1,000, $1,000 suit is different than one that you put off the rack that now. Even the material is different. You're going to even look different. Say what you want to. Sure will. If I put on me $1,000 suit and some $800 gator shoes, don't tell me. And get my beard trimmed up perfectly. Picturesque. It's the perfect, yeah. The suit alone. The suit alone, just the material alone would impress you. And that thing fit into the T? Sure would. So you can change the outside. He does something inside. When he changed the inside, he changed the outside. So $1,000 suit doesn't do anything, all right? It's what's on the inside. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That man can see his good works in you. May he bless you. Be encouraged today. Glad to see you all. Bless you all. Y'all, we bless you. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. 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 Father, in all things, we bless you today. We praise you. We thank you for your word, your truth. Bless your people, I pray. Give us rest and comfort today as we go home. And thank you for this day. I bless you for all things. Touch Deacon Tim. Touch his body, I pray. Bless all the saints here. We pray for Brother Belford and his wife. And Sister Tucker, I pray for them, Father. We pray for all those that are in need of prayer. Brother Dean there. And Brother Patrick Wynn, touch him, Father. Will Patrick, touch him, I pray, Father, out there in Nebraska. Just help him, give him strength. Bless all your saints, wherever they are. Give us peace that we can love one another, live one with the other, and be at peace with each other, Father. I bless you, Messiah's name. Touch all the men. Bless the brothers that have gone to labor this week. Restore their bodies. Those working here and those outside, Father, restore their bodies. Bless the sisters. Give them peace of mind and oneness of spirit and heart. We ask all things in Messiah's great name, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Bless you all, saints.